You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. Actually, it's also really the only commandment. If you keep this commandment, you're going to keep all the rest. If you really love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, then everything else is going to fall into place. One of the fathers of the church, I believe it was St. Augustine, said, although I've never been able to find this quotation, and that you would think this, in this day of, you know, all these search engines and things like that, you could find a quotation, but I can't actually find it, but it's a great one. It says, if you take care of order, order will take care of you, right? I think we can think of that in sort of just sort of ordinary sort of things if you, but it's true in a very, very profound sense, and especially with this. And that's how, if you keep this first commandment with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, then you're going to keep every other commandment, because you're going to want what God wants. You're going to want to please God in everything. And so that means you're going to keep all the rest of the commandments, because that's very pleasing to God, right? Most especially the second commandment that Jesus mentions in the gospel tonight. That's like the first one. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Wasn't in that first reading tonight, that first reading from Exodus, very powerful application of loving neighbor as ourself. And how offensive it is to God when we abuse, especially abuse people who are weak or in need. That offends God so much. And that's why we need to be sure to keep this second commandment as well, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's what God commands of us, is that we love our neighbor. God never said anywhere that I'm aware of that you've got to like your neighbor, that you've got to get along with your neighbor, that you got to have warm, fuzzy feelings toward your neighbor. I don't see that in Scripture anywhere. But I do see it said that you have to love your neighbor. Those other things are emotions, okay? We don't have very much control over emotions. At least I don't. I don't know about you, but I don't, you know? I can't speak for what I'm going to feel like from one minute to the next, you know? We can learn to manage our emotions, at least I hope so. Please pray for me that I get better at that, you know? But we can't control them. They kind of do their own thing. One of the doctorate fathers of the church, I think, referred to the emotions as the mad woman in the attic. They're kind of throwing the furniture around. Like, okay, she's up there throwing. But you don't have to let that ruin your whole day. But love is a different matter. Love is not an emotion. Love is an act of our will. Love is a choice. It's a decision that we make to place the good of another ahead of our own. And we can always do that. We can always do that. We can always make that choice. No one can stop you from doing that except yourself. You're the only person who can stop you from loving God, and as a corollary of that, loving our neighbor. If you really love God, let me show you how this works. If you really love God, then won't you love what God loves? That kind of follows, doesn't it? God loves that irritating neighbor of yours. Okay? Therefore, ergo, if my logic is right here, we have to love our neighbor, right? God loves our neighbor. We want to love and please God in everything. And so we want to love what he loves. And so if you have no other reason to love your neighbor for the love of God. You might even think to yourself, Okay, I'm going to love you because God loves you. I don't know how, but he does, okay? And so I'm going to. In English, you know, we just have this one word, love, that we make do a lot of things, you know? People go from everything, from this profound love of God, like, or the love of God for us, which is even more, most amazing, profound, and the love of God that is God himself, all the way to, like, I love chocolate chip cookies, okay? Like, those aren't the same thing, okay? That's not the same thing, all right? For me, chocolate chip cookie, love of chocolate chip cookies is almost like an instinct, like an animal or something. Like you wave the thing in front of it, you know, it's just you can't resist or something like that. But true love, there's in Greek that the New Testament is written in, there are at least four different words for love, all right? And this love of God that we're talking about is a Greek word, agape. And it's something that we are incapable of on our own. We ain't got it in us. It's that theological virtue of love that St. Paul talks about in Romans 5:5. It says, the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And literally, that's how it first comes into our souls, is through the pouring of the water of baptism. It's called an infused virtue, and that's what infusion means, is to pour into. And that's how we first get it, by sharing in the divine life and love of God through the sacrament of baptism. It's increased when we pray. It's increased when we receive the sacraments. It's increased when we practice charity ourselves. But it all comes from God. And it leads us to be like him in no other way. And so we have to put charity first. That's what that word charity, that love is sometimes translated agape into English. That's what that is. And we have to put God first. Always. And in everything. Actually, we're wise if we just love God alone. It makes much life much less complicated. Okay, God, I love you. And then everything falls into place. Yeah? But it doesn't work the other way around. You're not going to, like, step your way up to the love of God. It doesn't work that way. Okay, I love chocolate chip cookies, and now I'm going to, like, love Brussels sprouts, and then I'll, you know, it gets a little better, but no. It's got to come in from him to us. And so the response to that, what's the only adequate response to love? I mean, like, for example, if somebody, like your spouse, for example, says to you, I love you, what's the only right answer? I love you too, okay? No other answer will do, okay? Love has to be loved. One of the great saints said that, was so hurt by seeing the love of God not responded to with love, saying, love isn't loved. Love is not loved. And so we respond in love. Some people will kind of think you're maybe a fanatic if you say, well, I love God alone. But actually it means I love everything else then in the right order. I had a priest friend of mine who was in Rome one time. He's riding a taxi from the airport or something like that. And he was talking to the cab driver, and he had a lot of different, you know, religious pictures in it or something like that. And the priest said, are you Catholic? He said, oh, yes, I'm Catholic. He said, oh, so you go to Mass every Sunday. He said, oh, Catholico, sí, fanatico, no. Like, going to Mass every Sunday makes you a fanatic? You know, loving God alone does not make you a fanatic. Loving God alone makes you sane and makes you holy. And that's why we feel so divided in our lives so often. We have these competing loves. And these other loves are actually idols. To the extent that we love something apart from God, apart from in relationship with God, we're committing idolatry. And we've all got our idols, I think, you know. Not all of them are like statues of Athena, like at the Parthenon in Nashville or something like that. But they're idols enough. There's something that we carve out for me. One time I heard this person who's studying for ministry, fortunately not Catholic ministry, but say, like, it's really important that I have my me time. Whoa. There's no such thing as me time, actually, you know. When that Paschal candle is blessed every year at the Easter Vigil, it says, all times and all seasons are yours. All the time there is his, right? He made it. He gave it to us, you know? And the more that we live like that, in that kind of understanding, the more our life lines up with reality. The more everything falls into place. The more that everything is in right order. And so, that's what Jesus was asked. Which is the commandment of the law is the greatest? Give me number one. And he does. And actually, there's not really, well, he says there is a second one, but he says it's like the first one. And all the rest of them are like the first one too, in that way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And then you will also love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe even better than yourself. And love everything else in the right way and in the right order. So take care of order, and order will take care of you.